Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Holochat. This is Bobby.
And this is Rachel. And today we are talking about episode 5 and 6 of Imitation.
We've made it halfway through.
I would tell us where we left off, but I don't remember.
It's nice for you. It's nice that you blocked that from your mind.
We have to, as always, start Imitation episode 5 with, you know, the first 10 minutes is, you know, last episode's last 10 minutes. So I do remember where we are. Royak has, you know, grasped Maha in the strangest way humanly possible and pulled her into his hotel room.
Right. Except, of course, we gotta back up.
Well, that's where we left off.
That's where we left
but
off.
Now we're backing up.
Yeah, Maha and Quanrock are on like a press tour for the movie that they have just released, this mm-hmm. historical drama that Maha was cast in as his love interest, who does die, spoilers.
It appears that she's not in it. Like, his love interest has 2 scenes, perhaps? It seems...
He didn't love her that much, so
because
it's okay.
When... I was thinking about this later. When Yujin and Rhea and Hyunji are all at the movie theaters, they're like, oh, here she comes. Like, this is her first mm-hmm. moment on the screen, and mm-hmm. it is the scene where she's kissing Ryok, mm-hmm. as if this is the first time they've seen Maha on screen. And yeah. So, you know, his love interest, but a very minor part, it appears.
Yeah. It appears that it was sort of an enemies to lovers situation, because he's gonna kill her when he uh-huh. first sees her.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so we're backing up to, so they're on this press tour. We are mm-hmm. starting with the bus arriving at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Quanrock picks up his bags and stuff. He looks at Maha, who is frantically searching for her little bag of goodies, her little pouch
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with the little notebook and things where she's defaced Quanrock's face.
Yeah.
She finds a bag and gets off the bus, and Ji-hak is there. And I know that in the last episode, I had said, I don't know why Ji-hak sent her on this by herself without mm. some adult supervision, but he is here.
Yeah.
Which just causes more questions.
Yeah, I was super confused about him saying, well, I guess we'll get there. He's like, I'll pick you up at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is he... He's staying in the hotel, and he's going to pick her... Where is he picking her up from? Why does he need to pick her up?
Why? I don't think he is staying at the hotel, and that's what's so confusing. It's so like, he's not on the bus, he's not at the hotel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so did he drive all the way back to Seoul? And then...
she did say... Like, when she thanks him later, she's like, thank you for driving a long way. And I'm like... Why did this company not get him? Why is he not getting his own hotel room? He's not poor.
Why isn't he on the bus too? Because Daquan's on the bus.
Daquan's on the bus sometimes, and he's not on the bus other times.
Okay.
It's all very confusing. And I had this same exact, I was like, what is happening? I'm like, if Ji-hak is here, if the managers are both here, why didn't we get the managers involved in the switching of the pouches? But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's just... So we go back to Maha finding the gargle. She flashes back to her doodling on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrified and is like, oh no, he's gonna find it because she's a big dumb stupid idiot. And I sometimes feel bad about saying that she's a big dumb stupid idiot, because, you know, I've never been in this situation, so I might have done the same thing. But no, she continually picks the dumbest and stupidest and most idiotic option in every situation.
One of my notes for this episode is the writers have Maha being unable to think basic thoughts.
Yeah. just can't do it.
This jumps ahead a little bit, but I've got to complain about it now. It's still part of the flash. Or no. But this is when the manager comes up to deliver the newly purchased gargle.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to...
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Rook's like, you know, hide in this room. And the light turns on and she just stands there. She just stands like a statue standing in front of this manager. And then Rook has to tell her to, like, go to another room. And I'm like, why can't she have a basic thought in her head, like, oh, I should duck. Oh, I should look behind, get behind. Like, what is happening? Why is she just standing there? Anyways, we skipped over an important part, so we can backtrack to that.
Right. So Maha, she finds the gargoyle. She flashes back to the doodling, decides, I've got to go cause a scene. I've got to go to his hotel room and switch out the bags. We get a scene of Jiok, the Sasangs, the fan club, mm-hmm. and Daequan all in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah.
So the Sasangs are different from the fan club in no ways. There are no ways that they are different from the fan club. They're all here doing the exact same thing.
They are different in the way that they are treated by Daequan.
Yes. Which you just wait. Because I have complaints and they are coming. But anyway, they meet sort of at the elevators. There's like everybody's trying to get. And the thing that I found really weird is how Jiok is like, what's going on? I'm like, Jiok, you used to be their manager.
Yeah.
You know what's going on. You're fully you aware. You even
recognize this girl, presumably.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you acting like you have no idea what's going on? Jiok meets with the reporter mm-hmm. that we had seen at the press conference with Shax, where she's bringing up Eunjo 3 years after he's gone, mm-hmm. a thing that I don't think any reporter would do, but she flags down Jiok and she's like, hey, I want to talk to you. And they go and she asks him about Annie. She tells him her name is Byeongji. That is her name, but I'm just going to call her the reporter.
Yeah.
She asks about Annie. She tells Jiok, you know, you were the last person to meet with her before she mm-hmm. died. And so she's insinuating that, you know, Jiok has more information that he's not telling people, mm-hmm. which I don't know why he would tell this random reporter. But the reporter then is asking about Eunjo. She says, well, I was a fan. Mm-hmm. I was a Finn, one of the founding members, and I'm just a fan. So I just want to know that Eunjo is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Jiok's like, I don't know. I can't tell you anything. Maha, meanwhile,
hold on. She says mm-hmm. the craziest thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have it written down. She says it later. I know what you're talking about, though. So
okay, put then I'll a pin it. In that.
Yeah. We go back up because, again, the editing is so crazy. You can't finish a scene. You have to keep jumping all over the place at the same time.
Yeah.
So we go back up to Maha in Quanrock's room. The fan club. I'm like, first of all, why do they know what room he's in?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for them to have that information. But they go all the way up to his room. Nobody mm-hmm. has stopped them.
Yeah.
They start banging on Quanrock's door, asking him if he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Quanrock is just like hiding from them. And Daequan gets up there and is like trying to send them away. And the main girl is like, no, we're going to stay here and make sure nobody bothers Quanrock. And so mm-hmm. she sends like the other two girls in different directions to go check to find the Sasangs. And she, the president, is going to like stay right there. Mm-hmm. And she's like trying to look through the peephole and she's like banging on the door. And I'm like, mm-hmm. does this hotel not have security?
Seriously, why are these girls, did they pay for a room? Why are they allowed to stay tonight
like,
here?
Like, why are they allowed to be in here? Why are they allowed to be outside somebody's door? And then, like, throughout the night, they stay mm-hmm. there all night long. Mm-hmm. And throughout the night, they're, like, pacing back and forth in front of the door. And I'm like, nobody at any point thinks, hey, I should call hotel security because these people are like hanging around outside his door, mm-hmm. not presumably allowing him.
There are other people on that floor too. Like, what about the other guests? This is crazy.
So, it's just entirely insane. And that Daequan doesn't do anything about it. He's just like, mm-hmm. oh, well, and goes in the door. And this is the part that you're talking about where Quanrock's trying to hide Maha, and Maha just can't even, she can't do it. She can't think. She can't decide what to do. Like, the light turns, she gets shoved into the closet and the light turns on, and Quanrock's having to like hug the manager and spin him away, and
basic thoughts.
Yeah, like, do any sort of thinking for yourself. Like, when you got shoved into the closet, you couldn't like crouch down, you
seriously
couldn't like get under something or mm-hmm. behind something. She just stood there like out in the open. You can see her in the mirror. Like,
yeah,
please. Maha,
the whole thing pisses me off too because of what ends up happening at the end, but I'll just save that.
Yeah.
Like, this is so contrived.
It is. It's so very, very contrived. So then we go back to the reporter talking with Jiok. And she's again asking about Eunjo. And the crazy thing, because I know we're thinking the same thing, but she says something completely insane.
You don't have the right to be forgotten. Once you're, I don't know the whole quote, but that was the part that I was like, what is she talking about?
She says it, once you've been in the public eye, you don't have the right to be forgotten.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah, it is insane. And like, the way that she's saying it is so, just so weird. And and it's kind of like, there's no reason. She's so obsessed with this story to the point that you're like, okay, is she like Annie's sister?
Is she related to somebody?
Like, why does she care so much? Because like later on, she's in her office, you know, searching up Eunjo. And one of her fellow reporters is like, what are you working on? And she's like, something that won't make any money. Because they work at like a dispatch kind of place that makes money off of celebrity gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she, which that's just a crazy thing to say.
She reminds me of like a Sasaeng too. Like she's obsessed with him and like trying to figure out where he is. And it's like, for what? He wants to, like, he doesn't want to be an idol anymore. Leave the man alone. But she just can't do it.
It would be one thing if she were really focused on solving Annie, like figuring out what happened behind Annie's death.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's possible that that's why she wants Eunjo, because she knows that they were together and she thinks he would have like a clue. But that's not how it's playing right now. Right now it's playing like she's just obsessed with him.
Right, which because is she creepy. Was a fan.
Yeah. I feel like maybe she was kind of giving that as an excuse as well, just to try to kind of get Jiok to think, like, not look too deep into her motives. Because it does feel like she's, like, I do, it does feel like she is trying to figure out what happened with Annie. And it's less about Eunjo, but it's kind of playing right now like she's really just all about finding Eunjo, which is crazy.
Yeah.
We go back in Kwon-rok's hotel room.
They're
looking out the door, like they're looking through the peephole, and you're seeing like the fan club just pacing back and forth in front of the door. And once again, I'm like, call security.
Why? This is so annoying to me that he would not tell Daekwon what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to get rid of these people because Maha's in this room and she needs to get back to her room. Like, that would have solved literally everything.
Solved. Yeah. Like, although Daekwon is a little bit useless.
He is, but also, like, I feel sorry for him.
Yeah. He comes in, he tries to tell Maha to sit, and she refuses to sit down.
This is crazy.
And this made me so unnecessary, like, so irrationally upset that she wouldn't just sit down. Like, you have ruined this man's entire night. And he's, like, trying to lay down and go to sleep. And she's just, like, standing there in the corner. Like, how's he supposed to relax with you standing in the room like that?
Right.
Like,
why is she refusing to sit? There's no reason to not sit down. You're already in the room. At this point, just, like, sit down. At this point, get Daekwon back up here and tell him what's happening. Because that's what they end up doing anyway. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's so like, frustrating. Like, if this you whole were going to part.
Tell him, why didn't you just tell him? Also, there, I'll wait till we get there. Sorry.
So they have this one little moment where they're sitting next to the, like, they both kind of slide down the door as though they're hiding from the fan club. Like, I'm sorry, the peephole doesn't work both ways. Like, they're engineered to only go the one way, but whatever. They kind of are sliding down the door, and Kwon-rok accidentally touches Maha's hand, and they have, like, this whole moment. And at this point, I'm so annoyed that I just don't care. And then, finally, like, he does get her to sit down, and so she, like, sits down on an ottoman, and she's, like, being all kind of scrunched over. She does fall asleep, and the way that she falls asleep is also irrationally upsetting to me. Like, the way that her head's, like, bobbing around. I'm like, you gotta stop. You got a chair. You could lean back on the chair. If you've decided that you cannot leave this room and y'all are not going to call an adult to help you get out of this room, you could at least relax. But she doesn't. And so,
no, just any normal choice is just bypassed completely.
Completely. So we do one of my least favorite tropes, which is the sleeping confession.
Quan Rock. He looks so cute when he says it.
He does look so cute, but I'm like, why are you saying this? Like, what is possessing you to say these words out loud at this time? But he's just talking about how he thought she was really cool at the music show when they, you know, she kept performing when the music cut out, and he really admires her for that. And I'm like, this is all fine and good. Like, I'm cool with this. Anyway, so he's kneeling down, like, right in front of her, and she wakes up, and the way that she wakes up also makes me upset. Just the look on her face is, like, so stupid that I was like, why are you like this? So she wakes up, and she sees him, and he's immediately like, oh no, don't, it's not what it looks like. But then she looks at the clock and sees that it is 6 o'clock in the morning, and Jiak was supposed to come get her at 6:30. So she's trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of the room?
She suddenly remembers that she has to get picked up at 6:30, and I must suffer more, is what I wrote in my notes. Like, she, how could you have not have, you have now spent the night in this man's room. Like, how could you not have remembered that you needed to be, like, I just, none of it makes sense. Also, they show her with Jihawk many, many times, and they seem to have a very good relationship. He is not controlling. He is not demanding. He lets them eat whatever they want, and we see other managers don't do that. Like, we see their relationship, and the fact that she isn't willing to call him and be like, I've gotten myself into a situation, is infuriating to me.
Yeah. Well, I feel like later on when she kind of does the same thing to Lia and Hyunji, acts like she makes the situation worse because she consistently makes the stupidest choice.
This absolutely the worst choice.
It's so frustrating because it's like, okay, this is just a symptom of terrible writing because you couldn't come up with a real scenario that this character could be in and could act like a normal human being. And these things still happen, you had to go with, well, she's just stupid. And so that's how the story's going to happen.
And their plan is so stupid. It's so Daquan, he gets up there and it's like, okay, Daquan can handle this. He can get these people thrown out. He can get these saucings. He can call the hotel and be like, I need these saucings removed from the premises. This is crazy. He can do something. He can do anything. He can take those girls to brunch. I don't give a fuck what he does. He can do anything. Nope. But instead, he takes off his clothes and puts them on Maha. And then Quan Rock carries Maha out on his back, pretending it's Daquan. Maha, the smallest girl in the world. And she's got this, like, hoodie draped over her. And he's just, like, running. And he's running panicked as if those girls wouldn't be more upset by him running panic than literally any other choice that they could have made.
And they start, like, following him.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, like, go get in an elevator. He goes and he runs down the fire escape.
I'm like, what? why didn't Rook and Daquan leave and take the sea songs with them and then let Maha get herself downstairs? Like, it's crazy. It's the craziest plan in the world, and it's so stupid. Like I said, she realizes that she has to be picked up at 6:30, and then I suffer. Suffering.
But he does, Quan Rock does manage to get her in her room. We see Jihawk, he's down in the lobby trying to call, and she won't pick up, and then so he kind of, I put Jihawk doesn't deserve this, but he goes and he goes to her room to pick her up, and she finally answers the door and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was training and so I didn't see my phone. And so she's running late. Jihawk, Quan Rock goes back up to his room and he opens up the pouch and sees the doodles and he just like smiles at it and just thinks it's funny because he's, I guess, also an idiot.
Well, this is what I said last time. If someone did, like, if I did those doodles, I would hold them up and be like, look at my hilarious doodles. And they would be like, you're an idiot. And that would be the whole conversation.
Exactly. Which is what happens. He's just like laughing, like, oh, well, that's cute. Maha is late onto the bus and Quan Rock, like,
also insane tears into me. Her.
Yeah, well, I'm like, how was he on time but she was late?
Right.
What was she doing exactly? Late? Not her hair, obviously.
And why did the manager pick her up to walk her 10 feet to the bus? I don't get it. Why did he walk her 10 feet to the bus? Why was that necessary?
Did they why go was elsewhere?
He, why was
and
he
And then
ever
he doesn't get
her?
On the bus.
Yeah. Why he was he ever waiting bus? For her in the lobby to walk her from the lobby to the bus in the parking lot? If she needed to be walked, he should have always gone to her room and walk her. Why would he be waiting? Like, it's like, I'll escort you, but only halfway. You need to get yourself there halfway, and then I can get you to the bus the other half. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't understand. The whole thing is very contrived.
This is the episode. I watched this episode last night, and it was so painful that I couldn't go on. I couldn't go on.
Anyway, so Quanruck, like, publicly scolds her in front of everybody, even though he knows why she's late, presumably, because who knows? I don't know. The question that I have, because at this point, Daquan is riding the bus. Because yep, Daquan sure is sitting back next to Quanruck, like, across the aisle, and he's, like, making faces at Maha, like, you better not come back here. You better sit down right there and, like, leave us alone. And I'm like, why is Jihag not on the bus? I don't understand. Where is the car that Daquan obviously drove to the hotel, because he was not on the bus before, but now he is on the bus? Mm-hmm. Like, none of this makes any sort of logistical sense. And it's that sort of thing that, like, it's not that important. But also, like, why can't you get it together and tell me a cohesive story? Like, I don't get it.
It's a little important, because I'm not even being nitpicky. It's like you're watching it and you're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell the managers that you had a situation? And if you weren't going to tell the managers, why did you decide to eventually tell the managers after y'all both had a terrible night for 6 hours? Like, and then why is one manager here on the bus and the other manager's not here? Why did a manager put her on this bus till then? Like, how is she late? It does matter, because it took me out of the story, because I had no idea why any of the things that were happening were happening.
So after scolding Maha Quanruck is watching Maha as she is, as I put, chaotically falling asleep, because she's doing that, like, head rolling all over the place thing. And I'm like, she's not sleeping through that. There's no way she is still asleep and her head is, like, bobbing around that much. So he goes and he catches her head and, like, sets it back up against the headrest. And then he sits down across the aisle right next to her. And then both of them start chaotically falling asleep. And I'm like, oh, am I supposed to find this charming? Because I don't. I'm just annoyed. So they get back to the dorm. Daquan is furious, as he should be. Quanruck is pretending to be asleep.
I love Daquan, this part.
I know. Anything that doesn't have Ma in it is always good. Every single time.
This is one of my MVP candidates.
In the sea,
but he's, like, unpacking his suitcase.
Daquan is trying to wake up Quanruck. He ends up just, like, laying down on top of him because Quanruck is trying to pretend to be asleep. But when he does that, Quanruck finally, like, wakes up. Daquan warns him to be careful with Maha. He's like, listen, you know what is at stake. You know what's going to happen. Like, you know what you sign up for. You know how this goes. You cannot be doing this. You can't be pulling this.
Mm-hmm.
And Quanruck is kind of, like, you know, being like a petulant child. And he tells Daquan to take, like, some energy drinks with him. And Daquan is, like, insulting him, like, takes the energy drinks, is like, fine, and leaves. We learned there is a scene when Maha returns home and she's talking about the stuff that happened. We learned that Leah is a Shaq's auntie.
Which I love.
Like, as you should be. That's great. Like, she's like, don't mess with them. Leave them alone. Quanruck is really rude, which he is. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, we don't want to be involved with them at all.
This really upset me. And I'm not even sure this is when it happens, because, you know, of the editing and the flashbacks and whatever. And the splitting the scenes into 7 different scenes. Mm-hmm. But while Leah is, like, telling her all of this stuff, Maha starts sticking up for Roik and is like,
yeah,
he made me so comfortable while filming. He was so nice to me. And I was like, girl, he made you cry. Yeah. Like, I was there for that episode. Mm-hmm. I watched him yell at you. And then I admit I thought you cried for no reason. But the truth is that whatever he said bothered you enough to make you cry. He was mean to you. So he did not make you so comfortable that you were able to act well. And, like, you're now actively lying to your friends to protect him, I guess. But it's, like, it comes off really gross, because I was there when he yelled at her. Like, mm-hmm. while they were filming. And she did not, she was not comfortable on that set. No one can convince me she was comfortable mm-hmm. on that set.
No, she wasn't, because why did she keep like shrinking away from him every single time he went to like smash his face into hers, you know?
Yeah. And like, they had this uncharismatic kiss, and now this show is trying to tell me that it was the most realistic, beautiful kiss in the world. Like, I saw it with my eyes, so.
I'm sorry.
Listen, I've seen some good kisses in K-dramas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't one.
That was not one of them. No. So then we go to a scene of Eugen dancing. I put, he is dancing for his life.
I put, he's dancing his enemies to death.
And he's just like going at it. And I put here, Yuno is phenomenal, because it's important for me to remember that Yuno and Eugen are two completely different people.
Uh-huh.
Eugen tells his manager that he also wants to act, because he is also having flashbacks to this remarkably dry kiss and just losing his mind about it. And so he tells his manager that he too wants to be an actor, because he feels like he needs to be just as good as Kwon Ruk.
And it's this like, is Eugen, crazy to me. Last episode, we found out that he stumbled into being an idol because he was stalking Maha.
Possibly, depending on how you interpret the scene.
That is how I interpret it. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. And then she acts and he's like, now I've got to be an actor. It's like, Eugen, I need you to get some goals that are outside of Maha. Literally any goals at this point will work. But, mm-hmm. And you know, I was like, what dance is he even doing that's not the sparkling dance?
It's not sparkling.
It's not he's the Shaxx dance. So, oh. So, like, he's dancing his enemies to death.
Yeah. Kwon Ruk he's, like, getting ready for bed. He's having visions of Maha. Like, he's in the bathroom brushing his teeth, and he sees a vision of Maha, like, in the bathtub, like she was hiding from Daequan. And he gags himself with the toothbrush, and lurking in the doorway is Hyuk, who just makes everything better.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of teasing about, like, what are you doing? What's wrong mm-hmm. with you? And Maha is remembering, and she's, like, blushing over the kiss.
Oh, my God.
Then she has yet another memory of the stupid pouch and freaks out about it again.
I know.
And I'm like, how many times do we have to go through this? Then we have a scene with Ji-hak in the coffee shop, and he has a flashback to Eun-jo visiting the coffee shop. Zero mm-hmm. dialogue is said. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. Eun-jo walks in the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Park Jin-man, CEO of Energy, is pushing for Kwon Ruk to get into a new role, mm-hmm. like, immediately. Then we go back to Ji-hak. There is a scene in the coffee shop. Ji-hak is wearing a nice sweater. I, of course, am keeping track of all the nice sweaters. And he says that Hyun-ji has been invited to be in a fashion magazine spread shoot mm-hmm. is not a word. What am I trying to say? Photo shoot. There it mm-hmm. is. Leah is also wearing a nice sweater. Ji-hak tells Leah that Ha-seok, who, by the way, is Ammonite, wants to see her. Ammonite mm-hmm. being the producer who wrote the track and also works with Lee Hyun of Shaxx.
Mm-hmm.
Kwon Ruk is complaining about all the scripts that he has to read
mm-hmm.
because he's been given like a whole stack.
Yeah.
He is driving in the van with Daequan. Show Me comes on the radio and Daequan immediately turns it off. And that's why we all stan Daequan.
Right. Daequan and I are one in this.
Kwon Ruk complains about him turning off the music, and he complains about all of the scripts that he has to read, and he starts singing Show Me on his own. And I'm like, Kwon Ruk, get it together. They park in a parking lot. Larima just flounces over and gets in the van and tells Daequan to leave. And I'm like, I do love her so much. Like, she's a uh-huh. little toxic, but like, I love her for it. She's kind of like baiting Kwon Ruk a little bit about Maha. Mm-hmm. And Kwon Ruk gets upset and he says, don't call Maha your imitator. She's mm-hmm. like better than that. And he's like, is she? Are you sure?
And I have to hear once again about this stupid kiss. Just unbelievable. This kiss that set all of Korea on fire.
Yeah. So. Gracious. So we go to, I don't know where they are, but they're somewhere. So then we cut to, of course, Hyunji is now at her photo shoot wearing mm-hmm. just the most hideous dress you could possibly imagine. It doesn't even make logical sense. And Eugene comes strolling in. And, of course, Hyunji, we know, has a thing for Eugene. And
which is also upsetting, even though I like Yoonho. But it is like Hyunji gets some self-respect. Like, this is...
I will say this is where Eugene's character starts having a little bit of a turning point. Like, it's going to mm-hmm. be a minute. But we're now in... We're in a golden age of Eugene.
He does something... In this episode, though, that I think is the worst thing he could ever do. I just hate it so much. So he really pisses me off. Oh, is it the...
We'll get there. We'll get there when we get there. So I put that Yuno is absolutely mogging because he is... He's wearing, like, this leather jacket and he's just going, like, full Yuno of AT's model at this uh-huh. time.
Uh-huh.
And he looks amazing.
He does.
Like, he's doing, like, the hand thing, too. And I'm like, that is such a Yuno move. Like, you're kind of taking me out of it, but, like,
and then Hyunji is all of us as she picks up her camera and starts, like, she's taking pictures of him.
Like, once they get her out of... Yeah, once they get her out of that terrible dress, they put her in, like, a matching outfit with Eugene's, with, like, mm-hmm. black leather, and they put her in this nice high pony. Mm. She looks amazing. Like, she looks so good. And they do look good together. So that's, uh-huh. I ship it. As Eugene is, like, posing and everything, the stylist, who we all know mm-hmm. and love, comes over to Hyunji, and she seems to, like, be able to tell that Hyunji's got a thing for mm-hmm. Eugene. So she's, like, talking about Eugene, and Hyunji's like, oh, and he's so nice and sweet and just really lovely. And the stylist starts being super cryptic. And I'm like, I don't even understand what the stylist is talking about. Like, uh-huh. I have no idea. Then we go to Ammonite with Leah, and he is asking her to sing a song for him. Like, he wants mm-hmm. to write a song. He's kind of doing, like, an Eden Stardust thing.
Yeah.
Where he's going to write a song, and he wants Leah to sing it. And I put, as he should, because uh-huh. Leah's the greatest. She's the greatest. Mm-hmm. She's, like, the MVP, even when she's not the MVP. She's always right. the MVP. Lee Hyun comes in. He's also being a little bit of a creeper, and he kind of also wants Leah to work with him. Mm-hmm. And so she says that she's going to think about it. The girls go to a convenience store at the end of the day, and they get recognized by mm-hmm. some schoolgirls, and they have just kind of a cute little moment. They're all talking about, you know, they're not wearing makeup or anything, and so they're all, like, worried about it. And it's kind of a cute scene because, like, the girls want to take a picture, and Leah's mm-hmm. like, oh, pictures are a little bit. But then the girls, like, turn around with the camera, and they, like, immediately, like, posing. It was very cute. They leave. And then we get a scene of Se-young and Min-su and Eugene have been paid for the first mm-hmm. time in 3 years.
Which is crazy.
That is crazy. But they've gotten their first paycheck. Mm-hmm. So Min-su and Se-young are very excited. And they're also mm-hmm. like, oh, it's a cheat day. And so they're going to go off. I put that they're going to go have a chicken date. I don't think mm-hmm. they say they're going to have a chicken date. But if I feel in my heart that that's what mm-hmm. they're going to go do. Mm-hmm. Eugene, is this the thing that drives you crazy?
Yes! How dare he? How dare he do this?
I will let you tell it then.
Eugene calls Hyunji and is like, hey, what are you doing? But it's not because he wants to talk to Hyunji. It's because he's like mm-hmm. stalking Maha. He's like, what are y'all doing tonight?
Yes.
I want to take y'all out. He's that not inviting so Hyunji out. He's mm-hmm. at, like, he's clearly trying to get Maha without calling Maha, and I think that is so gross. It's rude to Hyunji. It's gross to Maha.
I don't understand why he's doing it, though, because it's not like he and Maha have had a falling out. They're still yeah. friends.
Yeah,
like, it's not crazy. Like, she's been avoiding his calls or anything. He could just have called Maha and been like, hey, I got my first paycheck. I want to take you out somewhere. And she probably would have been like, okay, cool. Yeah, sure.
And he wouldn't have even had to bring Hyunji and
no, like, she wouldn't have had to be part of this.
It's so infuriating to me that he uses Hyunji mm-hmm. like that. Like, I just think it's really messed up. So that, I mm-hmm. think, is really unforgivable. And it colors a lot of my opinions of Eugene for the rest of this episode and into next episode.
Right. And it just doesn't even make any logical sense.
No.
Like, he doesn't, it's not like if he had been like lifelong friends with Hyunji yeah. and met Maha and decided he loved Maha instead of Hyunji, then it would make sense for him to call Hyunji to get to Maha. But yeah. he's not really that close of friends with Hyunji. Mm-mm. So, like, what is going on here? Anyway, I think they just do it to make us upset.
Well, it works.
So Konrak is reading scripts. He keeps thinking about Maha. He keeps, like, you know, imagining her, having flashbacks of her, everything, like, things from the scripts are reminding mm-hmm. him of things that have happened with Maha. Mm-hmm. Hyuk and Jaewoo are...
This is great.
Yeah, this is great. This whole sequence is great. But Hyuk and Jaewoo are, like, playing foosball.
It's so fun. I love seeing that. That was so exciting to me.
And they're just, like, having a good time in the background, and, you know. Konrak is thinking, okay, like, maybe I should confide in one of the members. Like, no. You know, because he can't figure out why he can't stop thinking about Maha, because mm-hmm. he's also a big, dumb, stupid idiot. So he imagines telling Jaewoo, and Jaewoo's mm-hmm. like, you know, of course, being, like, responsible and, like, what are you doing? You can't do that. And he's like, well, now it's not going to work. So then he thinks about telling Hyuk.
Oh, it's so perfect.
He imagines Hyuk running out in front of the building amongst all of the Finns with a loudspeaker or a bullhorn yelling about Konrak having fallen in love. And it's just the cutest little scene. And it's, like, the one that I think everybody, like, thinks of when they think of Hyuk from Imitation.
It's really cute because, like, he does, like, Hyuk has that kind of, like, bratty attitude, which is very mm-hmm. funny. But, like, you know, like, when Hyuk talks to him later and he kind of does find out, like, that's obviously not his reaction. Like, Hyuk would never... Mm-hmm. It's clear that Hyuk would actually never betray him like that, but
no.
It is very cute in the scene.
Yes. So Konrak then decides to confide in Dojin, who, like, creeps up behind him and is just, like, standing right there. And he's like, oh, yeah, him. I'll tell him. So he does the thing that they do when they're like, okay, so I have a friend. And mm-hmm. he's trying to get Dojin to understand. Dojin is, Korean is apparently his second language, mm-hmm. the character's second language. So he sometimes doesn't know specific words and doesn't mm-hmm. quite, is unable to kind of follow along. And they play it as him being sort of lovably dumb. Mm-hmm. So Konrak is trying to get Dojin to understand this predicament. And Dojin's mm-hmm. just like...
Is it a math problem?
Yeah. Like, what do you mean 1 + 2? What are you talking about? And so basically, he's like, well, just call her. Like, get her number off of mm-hmm. SNS and just, like, call her. And so Konrak goes and he finds his old phone because he remembers that he has Maha's number from way back mm-hmm. when they were in high school. And he's like, and he can't find a charger that will work with the phone. And so he has to, like, you know, mask up and go out to a convenience store to get an old charger. And he gets mm-hmm. recognized and he's like, it's a whole thing for him to go get her number. And he sends her a text and she doesn't reply. Because she doesn't recognize the number, which I'm like, why didn't she have his number saved as well? Like, because he would have had to.
Doesn't he message her from his new phone?
He does.
So he doesn't have. But I assumed he changed his number. Like, his old phone had a different number than his
new phone.
So he
just gets the number from the phone?
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
Maybe I blacked out somewhere in the middle of all of this. So he is messaging her and she doesn't recognize the number and just thinks that it's spam. And so she just keeps deleting it. The girls then, Hyunji is like, oh, we're a surprise. We're going to go out. And so she takes them to this really nice restaurant and they're like, oh, wow, we're eating here. And she's like, well, I'm not the one paying for it. And so they go in and Yujin is sitting there waiting for the girls. Leah calls him out and she's like, why are you spending your first paycheck with us? She's like, are you the loser of the group? And I'm like,
yeah, he is.
Maha gets a call from Konrak, but she rejects it. Konrak is really going through it. Like, he's just mm-hmm. really having a tough time. And it is very funny. Like, the part where he's, like, rearranging all the bottles in the refrigerator and, like, slams the refrigerator shut. And he's just, like, he's really struggling. He is very funny.
He is.
Maha finally recognizes, like, he says something that, mm-hmm. I think he talks about the pouch. Like, are you ever going to come get your pouch? And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, no. Like, oh, shit, this is Konrak. And so she, mm-hmm. like, excuses herself and calls him back. And it was very charming because he sees that she's finally calling him. He's like, okay, play it cool. And so he starts counting so that he doesn't pick it up too fast. And while he's counting, the call drops. And he's like... So he has to call her back. And I'm like, he's very funny and very charming. And I'm so sad that he is in love with this stupid character.
It is so frustrating that there's so much good here. and that the writing of Maha is just so bad.
It's the writing and the casting, which we'll get into that in the next episode, especially.
Uh-huh. Did you talk about, or have we passed, how Leah makes a good 80s joke? During dinner?
She makes an 80s joke?
She does. She says, I can order everything from A to Z, right? On the menu?
Okay. I didn't clock it as 80s, but I do remember that part.
Uh-huh. I clocked it as 80s. I was like, oh, it's because he's from 80s. And they're what teenagers want, everything from A to Z.
We love Leah. We love Leah so much. So anyway, so Maha sends, Quamrock is very funny about pouch. I lulled, but I don't remember now what was so funny. That made me, I did laugh out loud a lot at Quamrock being crazy. But he does tell her he didn't go through the pouch, and she sends him her address. So she's thinking he will mail it to me. He'll use like a courier to send it to me. At Energy, Quamrock and Daequan are just walking into the building, and they see a trainee on the phone, and they're like, Daequan talks about, oh, well, she better date now while she still can, because she's clearly talking to somebody that, like, she's dating. And they both talk about, you know, staying single. And Daequan's like, yeah, we're just, you know, we're gonna stick with it. We're not gonna date people because you know that we can't and all of this. Then we see Hyuna is on the phone with a girlfriend. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be the trainee of NOG. I couldn't tell because I didn't get to see her face enough to be able to see.
Yeah.
So he's just like skulking around in a practice room, you know, on the phone with this girl. Quanrock has a dance practice.
He also dances great. Also trying to dance his enemies to death. Mm-hmm. Not as good as Yunho, but like great.
It's great. He searches up Maha. I put LMH and my brain was like, Lee Min Ho? What? And it's Lee Maha. So he's searched because she refuses to respond to any of his texts. And he keeps like texting her over and over again. And I'm like, you gotta calm down. So then we go back to Dojin comes into the practice room and Hyuk comes into the practice room and Dojin's trying to explain the situation to Hyuk. Hyuk kicks Maha's bag, that stupid pouch, across the practice room, and it was so cathartic for me because I'm like, I'm so tired of this pouch being everywhere.
Oh god, yes.
And Quanrock gets super mad at him, and then he has like an epiphany. But I don't know what the epiphany was.
I do.
I think it was that he was going to get Jaewoo's car. No, he takes the van first.
He steals the manager's car. That's his epiphany, that he can steal the manager's car, which is crazy. How dare you steal the manager's car? What is wrong with you?
Well, steals it and gets it towed.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know how to park. So then we see Daequan can't find his car keys, and then we see that Quanrock has driven the van where she lives, to the address, but like he parks illegally, can't find the address. He's like, where does she live where I can't just drive right up to it? Notably, he leaves the pouch that he's supposed to be delivering back to her. He leaves it in the van. He sees her going up the steps. And so he gets out of the van and he's like running after her. And that is the end of the episode where he like has run up and they're playing that like love song music. Like, ooh. And I'm like, what do you mean?
I have in my note that he has a nice smile.
He does. He's very charming. He's very charming as an actor. This character, when he's not being sullen, is very charming.
Yes.
But it's like he just progressively starts becoming more stupid now.
Yeah.
Which is very frustrating, which we'll get into in the next episode. Then we have our epilogue, and this epilogue is wild.
Yeah.
Because we learn that Quanrock was recruited by Jihak from his little dance crew that he had.
Which reminded me of J-Hope, who... Okay. was like a street dancer before he became an idol. It's not really
a thing. That's I wouldn't I know. But the original group before Shax was Jaewoo, Eunjo, Quanrock, and Hyuna of Sparkling. And so you're kind of starting to see, okay, now we're seeing why Hyuna has a little chip on his shoulder, because he used to be part of like a big company group and something happened where now he's no longer part of that group. But he's still a terrible person. And then Maha gets upset when she finds out that Kwon Rok is no longer with his, like, dance group, and mm-hmm. she's like, oh, he could have at least said goodbye. And I'm like, did y'all, like, know each other? Like, we haven't seen them really interact. We do see later that apparently they did have sort of a little bit of a relationship blossoming mm-hmm. before he got recruited, but it's weird. But anyway, that is the end of episode 5.
Thank God. When I turned, it was last night and I turned it off. I was like, no, I'll have to watch episode 6 in the morning. I can't suffer anymore tonight.
No,
This is after a child's birthday.
Yeah, you can't do it 2 in a row. It's just too many. It's 2 hours of imitation is too many hours. 2 hours of Maha, no, can't.
And it's frustrating because some of the best scenes of the whole show are in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the whole episode is so bad.
I know.
It's really... I have a note in mine, because they show both Yujin and Ryuk dancing mm-hmm. in this episode. Like, dancing their little hearts out. And, like, you just know that they could not do this with Maha and have it... Mm-hmm. be as meaningful. That's, and then spoilers
that's foreshadowing. Oh my goodness.
So shall we take ourselves to episode 6? Hold on. I want to do a new thing.
Okay.
I want to tell you my nominations for my some of my MVP candidates from the episode.
Okay.
And some of my biggest loser candidates
while they're still
from the
fresh
episodes. Yeah.
Okay.
So from episode 5, I have mm-hmm. 4 MVP candidates.
Okay.
One is the manager unpacking Rook's suitcase. I think that's very funny. He's like throwing the stuff on the ground and then like looking over at him. He's still not waking mm-hmm. up, and he just, you just like feel like I too wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. Like it was really cathartic. So that one, Jung-ho playing foosball mm-hmm. and Jung-ho with a megaphone. So those mm-hmm. are 2 separate ones. And then mm-hmm. Rook's smile. I think it's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So those are mm-hmm. my MVP candidates. And my biggest loser candidates are Yujin calling Maha's friend for dinner. So Yujin calling Hunji for dinner and then spending his first paycheck on a dinner for tea party. That is... got to be up there. Those are...
It's like instead of doing anything with like his group, yeah. his friends... Anything that presumably he is
himself?
Friends with.
Like, buy yourself a new watch. I don't know. Do anything else with your money.
It was very frustrating. I would say my biggest loser... I mean, Maha's always my biggest loser, but specifically
mm-hmm.
Maha when she can't do it. Which is always, but specifically when she causes problems for Kwon Rok and... only causes problems for Kwon Rok. Like, there is no, like, she helps him out. There is no, uh-huh. she never gets to be the one in the position of power. And that is very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say Daekwon is the big loser because he doesn't call security on the fan club.
Mm-hmm.
That bothers yeah. me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Kwon Rok is a big loser when he calls out Maha for being late.
Mm-hmm.
When he knew the situation behind it, and he didn't have to say anything. Like, he didn't have to put her on the spot like that. But he chooses to just because uh-huh. he is a child.
Yeah, it's crazy. Also, when he keeps reading the scripts and having flashbacks, I feel like he's a big mm-hmm. loser then, too. Yeah, not when he's, like, imagining telling it to other people. That's funny. Mm-hmm. But when he's just having flashbacks alone and you have to suffer through the things that you've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My MVP, I mean, my MVP is always Hyuk, but just specifically yeah. Hyuk and Dojin, and they're going to be MVPs for me too in episode 6, because this is another big, like, Hyuk and Dojin moment mm-hmm. coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say the stylist, not for the ugliest dress on the face of the earth, but for the styling that she gives Hyunji and Yujin when they're in, like, the leather. And they both look so sleek and nice.
They did look sleek and nice.
So that's
and Yuno has movie. Like some like eye makeup going on.
He looks so good. Oh my goodness,
that
looks so good.
That was very nice.
So episode 6, we're gonna start right off the bat with a positive, which is there is no recap at the start of episode 6. We start immediately from where we left off.
That's kind of a positive. In the sense that we don't have to suffer through a recap. However, right where it picks up is her running away from her very best friends, which is crazy.
It's so stupid because it's like at this point he hasn't even said anything at this point. No. Like he like comes up, he just calls her name and she's like, why are you here? And mm-hmm. like they haven't done anything. He just got there, but she sees mm-hmm. that Hyunji and Leah are returning. And instead of doing anything that makes any sense, mm-hmm. she grabs his arm and runs away with him as though they have been doing something bad.
And as though her friends have not seen her. They saw you standing there.
Yeah.
like no matter what, you're going to have to come back to them and be like, yes, I ran away. Don't worry about that. Like, what was the plan there?
Makes no sense. So she does run away.
Oh, I do have a note that her hair looks better here. It's like her bangs are kind of parted.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been having some moments where I'm like staring deeply at her hairline. Like, wait, is it real or is it fake? What is happening? Mm-hmm. Because her hair kind of overall, it looks a little bit better than it did at the beginning. But then mm-hmm. it will go back to being stringy and terrible. And I'm like, well, I don't know.
Sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it's not. It's especially not when she's running because it's like the top has like a different gravitational than the bottom.
Put your hair in a ponytail. Get it? Do not run with your hair down. Oh, listen, I don't run. I don't run because I don't like running, okay? When the zombies come, I'm just going to let them get me, all right? That's just the way that it's going to be. So I don't know for sure, but I will tell you, when I go hiking, I get my hair off my neck. I get it out of my face. I do not trust someone who's going to go running and all their scraggly hair is hanging down around their neck and in their face. I can't.
This reminds me of something that happened last episode that I forgot to complain about. So we better go back.
Right. We better go back.
So when they're carrying out their stupid plan where Kwon-rok is carrying her on his back mm-hmm. and he gets down the stairs, she's like, I can walk from here. And he's like, I'm faster. You are not faster than a human who runs all the time while you have someone on your back. That is, you are not, I do not care. You are not faster. You are not faster than her who can run by herself. Like, it's just not.
You're making it worse. You're actively making it worse.
Like, that makes no sense. They've established that this character is a character who loves to run. And now, mm-hmm. now she's slow and is in fact so slow that it is faster for a man to carry her on her back. That is how slow she is.
And it's complain like about how heavy she is.
Like, it would be one this thing girl, if she, like, hurt her ankle, but she hadn't.
Yeah. She is the size of a fourth grader. Yeah, she's so small. So there's no way that she's so heavy that Kwon-rok has to complain about how heavy she is. I'm over this trope. It's not cute. It's been done. I don't care. But I don't know. Put a pin in that, I guess. So
back to episode 6.
Yeah, back to episode 6. Back to some new complaints. So Leah and Hyunji, they run down after Kwon-rok and Maha because mm-hmm. like, where are y'all gonna go exactly? And Maha's like, wait, why didn't you just like mail me the pouch? Like, why are you here with the pouch? And he doesn't even mm-hmm. have the pouch. He left it in the car. And he's like, because I missed you. I don't mm-hmm. know if he says that here, if he says it later. Mm. But he just kind of is like, no, he does say it later. So right now, he's still being kind of cagey.
Yeah.
So
when
Leah
he steals another man's car. Sorry.
Yeah. So Leah and Hyunji kind of catch up to them. And Leah is very frustrated and she's upset. And she's like, what are you doing? Get away from her. You know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they send Kwon-rok away and they go home. And mm-hmm. there are Kwon-rok goes back to the car, but the car has been towed. The car is gone because he parked it.
Hold on. There's a absolutely crazy part here when Maha is like telling, like she's trying to explain the situation, and instead of saying, oh, he came to bring me the pouch that's in the car, or he came to bring me something, she says, we stayed in the hotel together. Like, why?
Yeah, I'm like, why did that come up?
What, bringing up the hotel room here in this moment is crazy.
It's like she can't, she's not allowed to do anything that makes sense. She's not allowed. The writers refuse to allow her to do anything sensible at any point. And it's so frustrating.
It's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Maha gets taken back to the dorm and she's in trouble. Leah's like presiding over this like tribunal, basically, mm-hmm. like judging the situation. But she and Hyunji make a fair point. Like, listen, if this goes badly, mm-hmm. it's taking all of us down. Like, yeah. it's not just about you. And you know how the Shaq's stands are. Like, you know what this is going to do. And then it cuts to the scene of all of the Finns, the fan club, in this internet cafe. And mm-hmm. they are voting on the favorite scene and when it, like, from the movie, because they're mm-hmm. going to, like, act out the scene live. Mm-hmm. And they are, like, we are not going to let that girl kiss Quan Rock again. So we're going to vote against it. And so they have, mm-hmm. like, this very coordinated effort to vote that top one down.
Yep.
Real Kingdom flashbacks for me. I was like, this is taking me back where I don't want to be. But they're just like, rabidly, we are not going to let him do this scene with her. And then, so then we cut right back to in the dorm, and Maha promises that she will drop it. Mm-hmm. She's not going to pursue it. She's not going to talk to him. She's going to put her group first. And I'm like, yeah, right.
I wrote on my thing, I actually hate Maha here. Yeah. Like, I just, because you can tell that she's not being truthful. Like, mm-hmm. she's not being truthful. She's not being honest. And I think it's stupid that idols can't date. Truly, I do. Mm-hmm. Like, let them date. But a part of me is like, if she would just be honest, like, I really like him. He really likes me. I think our friends would help her. And if they wouldn't, then maybe they're not good friends. But like, if you're mm-hmm. not going to tell them the truth and even give them the chance, like, I actually hate that.
Mm-hmm. It feels a little bit like Maha is still supposed to not realize how she feels. The same that Quan Rock isn't supposed to really realize how he feels. Like, they're supposed to be that level of immature that they cannot recognize when they like somebody else. So I think that part
crazy.
Is crazy. Yeah, I know. I mean, I feel like that part of it is supposed to be like, it's not so much that she's lying, but it's that she hasn't yet started being truthful to herself. And so she can't be truthful with Leah and Hyunji yet. She can only be stupid. But she does say, and then she has, like, she does say, I'm here for the group. And then they have that scene of her, like, looking at the photos of all the girls in the photo mm-hmm. book and, like, having a moment where she's like, okay, that is, I'm going to put them first. I'm not going to pursue this. I'm going to get it together. The next morning, Daequan is taking Quan Rock to the gym, which is a very funny scene, but Quan Rock is looking for the pouch mm-hmm. and Daequan's like, you're never gonna find what you're looking for. And I was like, he got rid of it, it's gone. Yes. But he takes Quan Rock to the gym and like laces him up in boxing gloves and he's like, just hit mm-hmm. me. He's like, just get it out. And Quan Rock is like, no, I'm not gonna do that. But then there is this part which is so frustrating to me. Because, like, Daequan, like, he wants him to do what is going to be best for his career and for his group because they know the situation that they are in. The situation that they are in is stupid and it's not right. And obviously, they should be able to just date. Like, they should be able to. The real villain of this story is the fans. And you will never change my mind. Like, that is the villain.
Yeah.
But they know what they signed up for at the same time.
Yeah.
They are not making any sort of moves to change the way that the fans think.
Yeah.
Instead, they're trying to cheat at the game that they already knew that they were playing. So it's like, you don't get to have it both ways. Like, you don't get to be in this environment, you know, being popular, being like well-known in this environment and also break the rules of that mm-hmm. environment, even if the rules are stupid and bad, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I find it very frustrating at this part because Quan Rock starts having like all these flashbacks like these of Maha and he ends by punching Daequan in like the forehead and knocking him over. As though he's made up his mind that no matter what Daequan has just said, no matter what he knows is true, he's going to pursue Maha in spite of it. Mm-hmm. Then we go to Ji-hawk's coffee shop. The girls are being kind of sullen. Ji-hawk mm-hmm. has to be sort of a relationship counselor and talk them through it. Mm-hmm. He tells them, so he kind of, that kind of clears up a little bit. He says, like, I can tell by your expressions that you've let some things go or something. And then he says that there's a sitcom audition. and Maha's going to do this at Come Audition because the other two girls are like, I'm not super comfortable with acting. Mm-hmm. Leah says that she wants to do something else, which we find mm-hmm. out later, is that she wants to learn how to write and produce music mm-hmm. because she's the best character and the show should be about her. But whatever.
I have in my notes that Ji-hawk's advice would be good if Maha wasn't such a big stupid idiot.
Yeah.
Like, because he's like, y'all need to trust each other.
No, don't.
Right. He's like, you should know 90% of each other and then let each other have that like kind of 10% of themselves mm-hmm. that they just keep to themselves and trust that they're going to look out for the best interest of you and them. And it's like, that would be she great doesn't. Advice, but they should not be trusting Maha to look out for them because she won't and she can't. So, yeah. Like, Ji-hawk, your advice is good, but you can't give it to these big dumb idiots because mm-hmm. they can't do it. Mm-hmm. So.
I know. Like, if only she weren't the worst person alive. But Daquan is trying to keep Kwon-rok very, very busy. He is talking to the CEO and, like, going mm-hmm. over Kwon-rok's schedule. And the CEO is like, are you sure you're not, like, overworking him? And he's like, no, it's fine. He takes him to this weird, like, nature show where he has to give up his phone. And he's, in the middle of the countryside, and there's nobody around, and he's having to, like, figure out how to survive for however long.
Like, start a fire, cook his own food.
And I'm like, would I watch ATs on this show? Absolutely.
I wrote, imagine Jung Ho filming this. He hates bugs so much.
It would be excellent content. And I have actually... said that I think it'd be very great if they like get dropped off on a deserted island and they just have to survive for a week. Like, how quickly would it go Lord of the Flies? I don't know. So Maha appears to be trying to keep her word. She goes and gets a new phone mm-hmm. number. Yujin is going to audition for a role in Kwon-rok's new drama. He and the mm-hmm. other sparkling boys are talking about it, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, Kwon-rok is in it, so it'll be really popular. Mm. The manager is being very kind and very sweet.
I know! This is such a turn. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
I'm like, okay, well, he's being like really cozy and nice with him because he's had like moments, but like he seems to really love these boys and he really wants the best for them. And then in the next breath, he's like, all right, get out the scales. And I'm like, what?
I know. It's such a bait and switch because you're like rooting for this manager because mm-hmm. he's like, he seems really supportive of Yujin doing mm-hmm. this. He's like, I think you can do it. And we know he didn't yell at Yujin when mm-hmm. like he went and, you know, was inappropriate at that music show. So you're like, okay, this manager, like he's just doing his job.
He's doing his best, you know? And then this happens. He tells them to pull out the scales, and all of them are overweight except for Yujin. And so he tells them they have to, like, go lose the weight immediately. He's like, I want you back down by tonight. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is crazy.
It's really upsetting. And then they cut straight to Maha running, where she has an upsetting mm-hmm. wig moment. So it was just really... Yes.
So they keep going back to Kwon-rok on the weird show trying to survive, and he's like trying to dig up truffles or mushrooms or something. I'm like, is he like harvesting wheat? What is he doing? So he's really just trying to feed himself. Mm-hmm. Maha goes running with her hair down. Upsetting. Kwon-rok on his... So again, you understand we're bouncing back and forth because this is how the editing goes, is we're just bouncing around everywhere. Kwon-rok back on the show, achieves ramen, but then immediately drops it because he tries to like pick it up just with his shirt sleeves. Mm-hmm. And it's too hot. Obviously, you idiot. So he gets upset about that. This is where Maha loses me for the final time. Maha goes and digs out her old phone from her box of memories and turns mm-hmm. it on. She sneaks out onto like their little patio because mm-hmm. they have like a rooftop apartment kind of situation. Mm-hmm. She goes and sneaks out onto the patio, turns the phone back on, and mm-hmm. is like startled when it makes the turning on sound. Yes. And she's afraid the other girls are going to hear it. Mm-hmm. She checks her messages and is upset to find that Kwon-rok hasn't been messaging her mm-hmm. anymore.
What I put in my notes is, it's the lying for me. Like, mm-hmm. at this point, she's actively lying, and she's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. It is. Then we go to Leah agreeing to work with Ammonite, and mm-hmm. she says that she will do the song for him, but only if he will teach her. Mm-hmm. And he's so kind and gentle. And I just, mm-hmm. he's got such good energy. And I just really love him so much. Uh-huh. And it's this, it's a very charming moment right after this, because she, like, she's there, she says she'll do the song. He's like, but you have a condition. And she's like, yeah, I want you to teach me. And he goes and he just pencils her in on his calendar. He's like a whiteboard calendar up on the wall. And she's like, oh, just like that. And he's like, not just like that. He's like, I had a good feeling about you. I think that you're going to, like, do a good job. And then he's in his studio and Lee Hyun comes in. And he's like looking around. He's like, so why is it so quiet around here? And I mean, I just kind of smiles gently. And he's like, oh, you missed her by like 1 second. And he's like, what? What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. But then he looks out and he said, Ammonite's like, oh, you'll just have to try again later. And Lee Hyun looks out at the calendar and he clocks the Leah appointment that next week. And he's like, all right, I'm going to pencil that into my schedule. I will be here.
Which is I'm kind of charming.
It's kind of charming. It's a little creeperish, but it's also kind of charming because it's like he just wants a chance to get to know her. Right. So it's not like, they haven't had any like negative interactions yet.
Right. She hasn't asked him to please stay away from her forever.
Yeah. At this point, he's just like, he just thinks that she's so talented. He was blown away by her talent. And I'm like, I think that's really cool that he's like, I just want to be around this talented person. Yeah. And he wants to get to know her. So, and he's not like, you know, finding her phone number from a friend, he's just going to accidentally be in the same place that she is in, you know, accidentally. So I don't know. Maybe it's because my standards are low, but I'm a Lee Hyun stan. But anyway, Daekwon picks up Kwon Rock from his nature adventure. Kwon Rock is like, we're having ramen tonight, and is super mad and very stinky, apparently. And he gets in the van and he goes and looks at, he goes and looks at the voting, and he's like, this was frustrating. He's like, well, if we vote for our scene that we're in together, then maybe I'll get to see her again. So he votes for the kiss scene on the little voting thing. But then like 3 seconds later, he reads an article that says that the movie basically tanked. Like I said, it didn't look like a good movie. So they're not going to do kiss the thing bad. So then I put they're at some sort of entertainment company and there are a bunch of Finns outside. So we know that Shax is in the building somewhere. Larima walks in. So we're with Jiak and Maha because she's going to the audition for the sitcom. Larima walks in just the most fabulous coat. She looks amazing.
She does.
It's like that blue plaid coat and then she's wearing the really tall boots. She pulls Maha aside, like sits her down and is having like a little chat with her, and she's so like charming in sort of a weird way. And she's because she's like, are you scared of me? Do I look scary? And because again, Maha won't sit, so she keeps having to ask her to sit down. And Maha, she says, well, Maha apologizes for imitating her. She's like, you know, that probably would have been frustrating for you to see somebody else, you know, acting like you. So I apologize for that.
Well, she also says, people always said I look like you. And I'm sitting here like, two people have never looked less similar. Like, I look more like her than Maha does. Like, it's just crazy. It's
I'm like, I can see. That's a thing that I can do. Larima, Maha says that Larima is her role model. And Larima's response is actually very charming. She's like, oh, I think I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
But then she does say, but I can't let you have Kwon Rock. She's like, no, and we can't do that.
She really should, though.
You should. Give him up. Larima, come on.
You can do better, girl.
I can think of like 17 other characters in this drama that would work better for you than him. But okay. Hyuk and Dojin are here for a sitcom. So Maha goes and walks into the room. And it's a very pleasant surprise when you see the both of them sitting there talking about their roles. And she's like, oh, are you here to audition? Mm-hmm. And Dojin's like, no audition for Shax. And it was like, okay. Okay, Dojin.
I love that part. No audition for Shax. I was like, oh, yes.
So they're talking about, you know, Maha's going to audition. And then after the meeting, Maha and Kwon Rock with their managers meet at the elevator, and Kwon Rock's trying to get her attention, and she's just like stone cold, not paying attention to him. And
this is like, so crazy, sad face. Because Daquan has done all of this work to keep Quan-Rock away from Maha. Mm-hmm. He's devoted his whole life to it. Like, that's,
I know,
that's
all he's trying to do. Life's calling.
And all of a sudden, he sees Ji-Hawk, and he's like, oh, hey, it's Ji-Hawk. And, like, runs over to him, like, happy, smiling, waving, with Maha standing right next to Ji-Hawk. And it's like, Daquan, what are you doing?
Do you not see?
Like, you have worked so hard to keep this man from standing next to Maha. Just call Ji-Hawk. You have his phone number, right? Like, if you want to talk to him, just call him and have a little chatsy. You don't have to bring Quan-Rock over here to stand next to Maha. Make him take the stairs. Like, it's crazy. He's done all of this work, and all of a sudden, they're like, oh, okay, it's totally fine for them to be in the same room together.
Yeah, so then they have this, like, Romeo and Juliet moment where they're in their vans, and they, like, turn separate directions. It's just, like, it's just super annoying. So then we find out that Energy has bought Freeze, the company that Ammonite apparently used to work for, so, like, good job, Ammonite. Mm-hmm. So Legion Man has just found out that Maha's going to be on the show with Hyuk and Jojen, and he's like, why is Ji-Hawk following me around like gum on my shoe? Like, why is this girl suddenly everywhere I go? They talk about CEO Kim, which was the CEO of Omega, who was the really shady guy. He's got a new company. He's got new talent that's working for him. And Park Jin Man calls him. We don't know what their conversation is about. We just know that he gives him a call. And it's like, well, this is probably some bullshit. So Quan-Rock is now in the, he's in the action film. And I put, you know, is so precious.
I also, I have a similar note. So he must have been doing something so good. I said Yujin is always so right, which is crazy because I've done nothing but talk about how wrong he is most of
the time. He does some right things in this episode, and he has an MVP moment, which we will get to, which I think is the beginning of his redemption arc, but we'll get there.
I certainly hope so. But as so he obviously did something that really turned me around this episode. Yujin is always so right.
Oh, you know what it is? Because Quan-Rock goes into the meeting with, like, the director, and when he's leaving, you pass by Yujin in his audition, and he's just looks so precious, and he's, like, bowing to everybody and smiling and being very, you know. Anytime where Yujin acts like you know, that's when I love him.
So, your heart just explodes. And
I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is my boy. So then we have the scene that I was talking about earlier with the reporter tracking Eunjo. She gets a, like, notification that he's back in Korea. Then we have, like, a scene of Eunjo as a photographer, like, wandering around. He's just taking photos. He has memories with Annie. He flashes back to a scene of him and Annie when they were dating. And she talks about how she wants to be a photographer because she wants to capture real moments. And so he's kind of, like, living out her dream, which was giving me real, you know, from Fever Part 1 vibes. So I was kind of like, you know, you don't have to be whatever she wanted you to be. And also, if she wanted to be a photographer, why wasn't she pursuing that? Why was she being an idol?
It's a little confusing because in this scene, she seems to hate being, like, she hates everything about the life. And you don't, in the other scenes that we've seen of her, you don't get the impression that she liked dancing or singing. So it's a little confusing.
Right. It's like, what do you... Why are, like, you here?
I assume that people who go through all the trouble to be an idol must really love something about it. But she didn't want to be famous, and she didn't like dancing. I guess we didn't really see her interact with singing much, but based on the group that she was in and the part that Maha took, it doesn't seem like singing was her big thing.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's difficult because we don't really get much of her backstory at all. Which is why I talked about this last time. It's hard to care about her because we don't know her, like, at all. So
even the scene with her and Eunjo, it's like, okay. Like, and I think Eunjo's fine. Like, the, you know, I like that guy from SF9, Chani?
Yeah.
He, I like him, but, you know, it's hard to feel anything in this scene because it's just like, I don't know these people.
Right. So, yeah, it just is there. So he's still around. It's a scene
that happens.
Hyuk and Dojin are teasing, so back to them. They're teasing Quan-Rock about the sitcom that they're in, talking about how Maha is in it too.
He's being so bratty, Hyuk is.
I love him so much. He's such a bright little moment of sunshine.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about how she's his Nuna and she's Dojin's girlfriend, and Quan Rock gets really upset about that. And they're talking about how she's like a lawyer or a law student, but she's a dance YouTuber. And I was like, no, please, no, please don't. Uh-huh. But they do. They like, and they're like, oh yeah, she's going to learn a lot of covers. So she's already in rehearsal. And so they show us Maha learning the dance covers. Like, we can't see. And it's...
But, you know, compared to, like, they showed us so much of Eugene dancing those men to death. Mm-hmm. They showed us so much of Quan Rock, you know, dancing his heart out. And then they just, like, cut to Maha, like, two times. And it still looks bad. And that's all they can manage to put in there. But they're always,
like, this much up. Or just a little tiny little bit of her, like, doing it.
Yeah, like, she's doing, like, simple moves. And they're showing us, like, one thing. And it's just, like, you know that she can't dance. So why did you hire this person for someone who's supposed to be, like, the best dancer in the industry? Like, she's supposed to be, like, some sort of dancing prodigy. It's just crazy.
It makes no sense.
I wrote my suffering, it will not end. That's what I put in my notes. Really clear on what part of the show I was watching.
So Eugene does get cast in the drama. He is in this action drama with Quan Rock. Se-young and Min-su are congratulating him, and they have this really precious scene where they really play well off of each other. And it's like in an alternate universe where this was like a full 16 episodes, we could have gotten more Se-young and Min-su, and this drama would have been better.
Yeah.
But they're being very cute. I put, you know, Sang-hwa's doing like a little this thing, and it's very cute. They leave. Hyun-ji calls Yujin, and
I feel like she has some self-respect, she has
a reason for doing this, and I feel like maybe she's, because she knows that Maha is into Quan Rock, she knows that Maha doesn't like Eugene, and I'm kind of feeling like maybe she wants them to, like, have a talk. Like, she wants, if Eugene will confess to Maha, she can reject him and this can be over, but Eugene refuses to do that. And I feel like maybe that's part of Hyunji's motivation here, is to get him to say something so that Maha can be like, no, 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 we're just friends, and then he can let it go and move on.
That's an interesting theory. It's better. It's certainly what I hope is true, as opposed to my theory, which is that she's, you know, has the sword and she's falling on it so that Maha can take Eugene and not be with Quan Rock, because they don't want Quan Rock involved with the group. She thinks it would be better if Maha's involved with Eugene.
I don't think it would be, though. I mean, it would be less drama from the fan club, but he's still also an idol.
Yeah.
He does have a fan club out there somewhere, probably. If he's making a paycheck, they have to have a fan club.
I mean, it's probably the difference in dating Jungkook from BTS and, like, a guy from, what's a less popular group? Wei? And, like, a guy from Wei. So, like, you know, that would be a huge difference.
It would be, I suppose. But anyway, so Hyun-ji does call Eugene and she says, hey, Maha's in the practice room all by herself. Can you go walk her home? Make sure she gets home okay. And Eugene's like, finally, now it's my time.
And it's not.
Like, yes, like, no, please. So Jaewoo goes to check in on Quan Rock. Jaewoo, this is like the first time he's doing anything in this drama. Like, he's, I guess maybe he finally showed up to rehearsal or something. So he goes in to check on Quan Rock, but then we see that it's just Hyuk and Dojin snuggled up under the covers trying to cover for him. I'm like, why did it take both of you? Like, how big do you think Quan Rock is? Quan Rock has stolen Jaewoo's car.
This is crazy.
And he has driven to go pick up Ma because he learns that she's in rehearsal doing the dance cover, learning the dance cover. So he knows that she is at her company, which is a coffee shop. So he's driven to the coffee shop, but he gets there after Eugene. So he's sitting in the car and he's watching Eugene and Maha, like, pal around together on the sidewalk outside of the coffee shop. He gets upset and honks at them and stalks out of the car and demands to take Maha home. And this was where I was like, okay, hold, everybody shut up. What is happening? Because Quan Rock has no right to demand to be the white knight that takes her home. He doesn't have a relationship with her. She's not in any threat from Yujin.
Nope.
Like, he's her friend. He's a closer friend to her than Kwon Rak is.
Yep.
Yujin is being nothing but respectful and kind and smart. Uh-huh. And he says, and here's where I'm like, I am team Yujin right
Maybe
now.
This is where I wrote Yujin is always so right.
Because Yujin says, he says very kindly and softly and respectfully, he says, if somebody sees you, you know it's Maha that's going to take the heat for it.
Yeah.
He's like, you'll be fine. She's going to have to suffer. So, like, yeah. No, she can't get in the car and go with you. And so
Maha's like, I'll get in the car and go with you.
At first, see, this is really frustrating. At first, she's like, no. She's like, no, I'll welcome with Yujin. And Kwon Rak, like, pushes it. Mm. And he's, like, kind of getting all up in Yujin's grill. And I'm like, excuse me. And so she, to, like, keep the peace, she's like, I'm sorry, Yujin, I'll go with him. She gets in the car and she's like, what are you doing here? And this is where he's like, oh, I missed you. Yeah. And she's kind of like, so then she starts asking to get let out, like, before. She's like, just let me out here. She says it like a couple different times, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Girl, if you were just gonna have him drop you off immediately, why did you get in the car? There was no reason. Nobody mm-hmm. was forcing you. You could have just grabbed Eugene's hand and walked down the road, like, just left. Like, what's he gonna do, follow you in his car? He's already done that.
This also, like, the whole thing is super upsetting. Kwon Rak's behavior is abysmal. But that he has stolen a second guy's car. Kwon Rak, if you're going to do this, get your own car. He makes more than everyone else. He's got these acting jobs. He's got all these side gigs. Buy yourself a car instead of stealing the car of all of your friends. That is horrible behavior.
Yeah, it's crazy. He demands her new phone number. He's like, you haven't been answering my texts. It's because you got a new number, haven't you? And she's like, how did you know? And he's like, give it to me. He's like, just put it in my phone. And she keeps, like, asking to get dropped off early. Then we go to Hyuno being a jerk to the trainee. He's trying to, like, this was another stellar Yujin moment. So we got two, like, right back to back. So this Hyuno, he's, like, standing in the hallway around a corner, and he's like, you need to stop being so clingy. I only dated you because you work for, that you're an NOG trainee. And I think maybe she'd gotten, like, kicked out or something. Mm. And so he wasn't interested in her anymore. So Yujin is listening to this. And when Hyuno hangs up, he turns and Yujin's just standing right there, and he's got full serial killer face. And I forget what he says, but he says it so quietly and, like, so seriously. And I was like, where is my, you know, undercover in, like, a school drama? Where is it? Where is my, you know, action drama where he can be serious? Because he's so good at it. Oh, my goodness.
He's so good at it.
It was such a great moment. Jaewoo, I put Jaewoo finally does a thing, and I think that I am referring to when Kwon Rak comes home. He, like, yells at him and pulls all of the Shaxx members together, and he's basically like, get it together.
But the rest of Shaxx is like, well, let it go.
And I'm like, no, what are y'all talking about? But then again, they'll be fine. Like, they'll be fine because they're the boys and they'll be fine. Maha goes running again. Her hair is down, of course. As she's running, she keeps having memories of Kwon Rak. She specifically remembers him walking her home when they were teenagers. Mm. And I'm like, well, that's news. News to me. I had no idea that y'all even were a thing. Rak goes running. Then he goes into rehearsal for the action drama. Yujin arrives and they're practicing their fight choreo. And, like, Kwon Rak, like, punches Yujin in the face.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
It's
and
very
I was like,
uncomfortable. This whole, like, fake real fight was really uncomfortable for me to watch. I did not enjoy it.
No, I didn't love it. I didn't love it at all. We go to a scene of Maha practicing.
My notes She's for like, this scene are Maha, shut up.
Leah comes down the stairs to check on her, and Maha, like, I put the most realistic part of this is where she hurts her ankle.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that tracks. The rest of it doesn't track, but she's like, it looks so bad.
Yeah.
Leah and Maha are just chatting, and Leah's like, are you sure you're not overdoing it? Are you sure it's not too much? There are too many covers for you to memorize. And then Hyunji comes down the stairs and she's all excited and she's like, let's go. So then we go to where they are shooting the movie. And they're doing the action scenes.
Hyunji, why did you bring these people here?
Well, they're not here yet. So right now we're just watching, like, the rehearsal. Rock is doing his own stunts, which is crazy.
Yeah,
that would never happen. Like, he's doing car stunts.
That would never, ever happen.
That's foreshadowing. It's foreshadowing. He's doing his own car stunt. They're rehearsing. Everything's going fine. They're rehearsing the fight scene choreo. Everything's going fine. They're good. Tea Party show up to the filming location, and I'm like, why are they allowed to be here?
Yeah. And during a dangerous stunt, no less? Like, why isn't this a closed set?
It's a closed set. Nobody else is here watching. The director knows Maha, but he didn't know she was coming. He just turns and he's like, oh, Maha, you're here, and then gets back to work. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's not like Yujin is the star of this, and it's all, like, he's a tiny baby boy. Yeah. Like, boy, he's not allowed to bring his three friends to the set. That's wild.
So anyway, so the Tea Party girls are standing like up on a hill, full view of the people who are filming. They start shooting the scene for real this time, and Kwon Rock is driving his car, getting ready to do his stunt, but he gets distracted because he sees Maha, and I have to. Maha looks so haggard right now in this scene. So it doesn't really track as like, oh, look, there she is. She looks so beautiful. Mm-hmm. She looks like the first scene where he saw her, where she was like a ghost on the side of the road and he thought that she was a ghost. She looks just like that.
Well, and maybe her face is
just like blank and she looks pale and she looks sickly, and he sees her and it totally throws him off his game. And he ends up, like, not doing his stunt correctly and ends up rolling the car. Like, he crashes into something and rolls the car, and he's injured and everybody's freaking out. And that's the end of the episode. And we go to the epilogue where we learn. Okay.
Before we start talking about the epilogue, which is kind of upsetting, two notes about Yujin. I felt like every part where he was, like, when he came in and he was fake fighting with Kwon Rock, he, like, is very professional. Like, he is the most professional, soft-spoken, like, clearly is trying his best to, like, do the choreo and to not be weird about it.
Yeah, motives aside, he's doing his role exactly the way he needs to do it.
And then, to his credit, when Kwon Rock gets injured, he also, like, runs towards the car to, like, help him and, like, try to help pull him out and stuff, which I don't think is what you're supposed to do when there's a car crash, but that's not really the point. The point is that he's really trying. He isn't like, yeah, he got injured.
To me, I think we've entered the redemption arc. We're not, like, fully there yet.
I think this episode is the start of his redemption arc. Episode 5 is his low point, and episode 6 is the start of his redemption arc.
Yeah.
Which I'm ready for.
Yeah, for real. So then we get to the epilogue, which is when we learned that Jaewoo is the one who told Park Jin-man that Eunjo was dating someone. And he doesn't do it. He does it kind of reluctantly. The CEO is kind of goading him, trying to get him. He's like, just tell me. Just tell me what's going on. Is there anything? And so he kind of reluctantly admits. And so that's it. Like, we don't see his reaction to anything. We're just getting these tiny little pieces of disparate stories in the epilogues, and we're supposed to put them together somehow.
It's upsetting to me because I think it gives a lot of things to think about with the leader. What's his name?
Jaewoo.
With his, like, backstory. So, like, he presumably thinks he's the reason that Eunjo left the group. I would assume. So that has to affect how he's dealing with this now.
Yeah. It's why he reacts the way that he does when he finds out about what's going on. So, and it's like, I get it. Like, again, I'm not saying that the situation that they're in is right and good and is the way that it's supposed to be. Yeah. I'm just saying that they know the situation that they're in.
Yeah. Biggest winner and MVP, or biggest losers and MVP nominees. Do we have any?
MVP. I do have an MVP. And it is Yujin for standing up for Maha against Kwon Rock. Not that I like Maha or Kwon Rock or Yujin at this point, but he was right and correct and seems to be the only person. And I guess I would put Leah and Hyunji in this group as well, because they seem to be the only people who fully understand the ramifications of what these two people are about to cause for both of their groups. And it's just very selfish of Kwon Rock and Maha to pursue this, knowing what they could lose, especially Maha. And I hate to like come down harder on the girl, but I am, because she knows the consequences for her will be more severe.
Yeah.
So
I think the thing that bothers me is not that they want to have this relationship in spite of the trouble that it's going to bring everyone. It's that they refuse to tell people that they want to have this relationship in despite the trouble that it's going to bring.
Yeah, it's the hiding and the sneaking around that's going to cause most of the problems.
Right. So that is the part that really upsets me. I wrote two things as my nominees. Daequan taking rope to touch grass. I really liked. I liked that a lot. It didn't work, though, so I can't give it to him. Jung-ho being a brat is the biggest MVP for me. My biggest loser, I only have one for this episode, and it is the tribute pack. Just couldn't stand to hear about the tribute pack anymore. It finally gets lost. It's gone. I never have to hear tribute pack again. I never want to hear tribute pack.
Daequan for getting rid of it. Also MVP.
Truly.
My biggest loser is Kwon-rok. For letting himself get distracted, for
stealing two people's cars?
Stealing two people's cars, for consistently choosing himself over the rest of his group and over Maha and her group. Even after multiple people are trying to tell him to stop. He's been giving warnings all along the way, and he just breezes right through them. And it has led to him, you know, just being kind of weirdly obsessed with her, to the point that he just sees her at his shoot, and it throws him off his game so much that he causes a whole car accident, which thankfully only hurts him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's scary for everyone else, so.
Okay. I'm over it.
He is a big loser this time. Mm-hmm. But I think my MVP for, like, both of them, I think my MVP is Daequan. I just feel really bad for him. Which I suppose is an MVP material.
Yeah, but he is very funny and charming, and he is trying to keep it together. Even though he could have called hotel security. And I'm still like, why did you not?
I have to assume that he didn't, because it would cause a situation between Kwon-rok and the fans. Like, they would be upset about it, and that might, and like, yeah, that's stupid, but I have to assume that's why he didn't. I'm gonna ignore his actions. I mean, I guess my, let me take it back. I'm not gonna give it to Daequan. I'm going to give it to, I'm gonna give it to Hyuk for, one, for not reacting the way that Kwon-rok expected him to, and for always creating this atmosphere that's, like, fun to be in.
Yes, he, without Hyuk and Do-jin, this drama would be such a slog. Like, it would be truly awful.
And I know that I said I wouldn't name Hyuk for the MVP because he's always the MVP, but I do feel like in this specific, in these two specific episodes, he really actually deserves it, because him and Do-jin are doing a lot of good work here.
A lot of heavy lifting in this particular episode.
I'll give it to both of them. Do-jin, you take some of that credit too.
Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
You can find us on Blue Sky at Holochat Podcast, or read more from our blog at onteeny.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light.